the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son to redeem us. Join us now for the Bible Institute of the Air. Welcome to the Bible Institute of the Air. During this Christmas season, Dr. Ward Anderson of the Bob Jones University Bible Faculty is teaching a special series on Christ as the fulfillment of prophecy. Here with today's study is Dr. Anderson.
I want you to get your Bibles handy, for we consider our study this afternoon again concerning the coming of Christ, how that He came into the world, in answer the fulfillment of prophecy given of Him thousands of years before He came. We considered three prophecies concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The first one is the first great promise of the gospel in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, that He would be the seed of the woman who should bruise or crush the head of the serpent. We noted, of course, that this was an outstanding phrase because normally it's the seed of the man that is mentioned in Scripture, but this one would be uniquely born to come to die in order that man might be redeemed. We noted in 2 Corinthians 5:21 that this seed of the woman would be the Redeemer, the one who knew no sin, who would be made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. That He took on flesh and blood so that He might redeem men from their sin. The second prophecy that we noted was in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 3, where the promise is given by the Lord to Abraham that it of his seed shall come the blessing to all the nations of the earth. This is the gospel that was preached before the coming of Christ, as we note in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 8. This promise of the gospel meant that Christ, according to the flesh, would descend through the family of Abraham. In Genesis 3, we have the human affiliation of the Savior. In Genesis 12, we have the national affiliation, that He would be born of the seed of Abraham. Also in Genesis chapter 49 and verse 10, the third great prophecy, noting where the Redeemer would come, we have that fact that Judah would be the bearer of the scepter until Shiloh comes. Shiloh, the word which means he whose it is, refers, of course, to the one whose right it is to rule over all. Judah would be the kingdom, that is, the nation, that would produce the kings over Israel. But they would be a line of kings that would have their limits, and fulfillment in that kingdom would only be in the person of Shiloh, or the Redeemer. Here we have his tribal affiliation. God, therefore, in the book of Genesis, brings us from the fact that Christ would be born a man, that He would come into the world to be a blessing to all people, that He would come through Abram's line, through Isaac, through Jacob, and among the 12 sons of Jacob, Judah is chosen to be the line through which Messiah would come. The next great prophecy is in 2 Samuel chapter 7, beginning in verse 11 and going through verse 16. If you have your Bibles, would you turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter 7, beginning verse 11 and reading through verse 16. David is settled on his throne, and he considers the most important thing in his kingdom to establish the rule of God as completely as possible over his people. He lives in a fine palace, but he looks out from his palace and he sees a place where a tent is set up, where the Ark of God was put, and his heart yearns for a permanent structure in which God might be recognized as dwelling in the nation Israel. He expresses this desire to build a temple for God to Nathan the prophet, which is a good idea, and Nathan agrees. But God comes to Nathan in the nighttime and tells him, in effect, that though David wants to build a house, that is, a temple, that God will not allow him to do so, because he's been a man of war and he's had to shed much blood to establish his kingdom, and God wants the builder of that house to be a man of peace. And he instead gives David an outstanding promise, which we call the Davidic covenant. God sends Nathan to David to promise him what we shall read here, beginning in 2 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 11. He says, "Since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, and have not caused thee to rest from all thine enemies, also the Lord telleth thee that he will make thee an house. And when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men, and with the stripes of the children of men. But my mercy shall not depart away from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever." We have in this prophecy a number of elements. First of all, there is the promise that David's son should rule on his throne after him, and that he would be the builder of the house that David so much desired to build. We know from history that Solomon was the successor to David, and that he did indeed construct a magnificent temple where God was shown in his full glory, as much as it could be revealed at that time. This part is fulfilled. Unfortunately, because of the unbelief and sin of the nation, they were eventually carried into captivity by their enemies, and that temple was destroyed. But for the time being, we're considering the promise that was made to David. And he is told from God that, first of all, God would build him an house, not a physical palace, for David already dwelled in a fine palace, but that he would build for David a house of rulers, a dynasty, a line of kings, and that David's throne would be inherited by his son, and that man's throne would be inherited by his son, and on down the line in the house of David. God tells David that he will die, that he will go to be with his fathers, but that after him his seed would rule, and the kingdom would be established. But we note in verse 13 and following that the kingdom would be forever. Now Solomon didn't live forever on earth to rule over a kingdom. He is dead, and David is dead, and all the line of kings that come from that line have died. When God promised to David an everlasting kingdom and an eternal throne, he gave him the messianic promise. An everlasting kingdom can only be fulfilled in an everlasting ruler of that kingdom. And Christ, as he comes from the line of David now, would be the king who should receive that throne and rule forever. We noted in the passages in Luke that the promise was given to Mary that he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and he shall rule over the house of Jacob and Israel forever, and he shall rule from the throne of David, his father. We want you to know that Christ, according to the flesh, came from the line of David, and that he was more than an earthly ruler. He has not yet indeed taken his earthly throne, but he shall one day come to rule from the throne of David. But he rules spiritually in the hearts of his people. And the temple which is to be the temple of Christ's reign is to be the temple of his people. God's people are to be such as Christ rules in their hearts. And the house of God, we read in the New Testament, is not fulfilled with stones and mortar, but the house of God, the temple in which he resides, is his people, the church, the bodies of believers, and it is there that God is most worshipped and most glorified. Yes, there was a physical and earthly temple, and there shall be again. But this isn't all of the prophecy. And David knew that what God promised him here in 2 Samuel chapter 7 was that the Messiah himself, the seed of the woman, the great descendant of Abraham, the man who would be the ruler from Judah, is now coming from his line and after his likeness, so far as he is king of Israel. Would to God that Christ would be the ruler in our hearts, and that he should reign there forever. Our Father, we thank thee for the study of thy word. As we continue this series, we pray that thou wilt give enlightenment to our minds. May we understand the truth of the coming of Christ, who is the Savior of the world. We pray that if there be any who listen to our voice today, who have not allowed him to rule their life and save them from their sin, that they will do so today. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen.
Dr. Ward Anderson, a member of the Bible faculty at Bob Jones University, has been our teacher on today's broadcast. As a special Christmas greeting, Bob Jones University would like to send you The True Story of Christmas. This booklet by William W. Orr will expand your knowledge of terms and characters surrounding Christ's birth and give you seed thoughts for your own Bible study. Your copy will be sent free and without obligation. Write Bible Institute of the Air, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, 29614, and ask for the Christmas booklet. Listen Monday through Friday for the Bible Institute of the Air, produced by Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, 29614.